Let's begin with a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless us then. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and to study the book of Psalms and to gain something eternal from the word of God. I pray, Father, you would encourage hearts. I pray, Lord, that this lesson would lift us up and be reminded of how great you are and how faithful you are and how loving you are towards us, Lord, because of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless our lesson, Lord. Help us to gain what we need to for today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. All right, so kung meron kang Bible, if you have your Bible, I'll go ahead and open them to Psalm number 42 and also look at Psalm 43. So these two psalms are connected. Not in the Masoretic text or the Hebrew text, but they're connected in the theme and the outline and the theme. So, eto ang laman ng Psalm 42 at chaka 43. You see, the basic outline is that it's a lament. Ibig sabihin ng lament ay pagdaing o panaghoy, no? Sorrow, lament. And then the other theme is hope. And so they kind of parallel each other. Lament and hope, lament and hope, and so on and so forth. Hanggang matapos tayo sa Psalm 43 verse 5, lament and hope, pag-asa. All right, so yung hope, pag-asa. Yung lament, pagdaing o panaghoy. And so that's the outline of Psalm 42 and 43. And we're looking at it as a unit because of the theme, even though they're two separate psalms in the Masoretic text. Now, if you notice in Psalm number 42, we find the inspired headings, and it says here, to the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. To the chief musician, Maskil. Now, yung chief musician, alam natin kung sino yan. That could be Asaph, that could be Ethan, or that could be Heman, based on 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 17, which we're not going to look at today. however, it says here, Maskil, to the chief musician, Maskil. Anong ibig sabihin ng Maskil? What is a Maskil? Well, a Maskil is a poetic title, poetry, meaning understanding or teaching or a skillful psalm of understanding or a psalm of instruction. So, ibig sabihin, ito ay isang awit na punong-puno ng pangunawa o punong-puno ng kahusayan o kahusayan, punong-puno ng instruction, no? Ano ba yung instruction sa Tagalog? Kung alam mo yon. So, ilagay niyo yan sa comment. Instruction. All right? So, understanding or skill. And so, in Psalm 42, the poetry of the psalm will be instructing us as children of God concerning discouragement and what God wants us to do when we go through times of discouragement. Or even depression, or downcast, or being cast down, or being defeated, just discouraged. So Psalm 42 and 43, 43 doesn't have a heading, but because some of the verses parallel 42, we're going to look at them in a combined fashion. For example, look at Psalm 42, verse number 5. This is the main chorus that goes through the entire songs. Psalm 42, verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Look at verse number 11. Psalm 42, verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? It's a repetition here. Hope thou in God. That's the theme. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Look at Psalm 43, verse number 5. And that's why we're combining these two. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So again, similar wordings throughout these two sections, these two songs, 42 and 43. Not only do we find similarity of wordings there, but look at Psalm 42, verse number 9. Psalm 42, verse number 9, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And that is similar to 43, verse number 2. 43, verse number 2, similar again. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And so these similar wordings, refrains in verse number 5, and verse 11, and chapter 43, verse number 5, these similarities of wordings kind of give us a hint that these psalms are paired, to be taken as a unit, as one, although they are separate songs. All right, and so let's go back to Psalm 42 in the inspired heading, verse number 1. To the chief musician, Maskil, again, the understanding, the skillful psalm, for the sons of Korah. Now, that's different. For the sons of Korah. So, 42 opens book number 2 in Psalms. We learned from last time we studied book 1, all of this is David's psalms, the Psalms of David. Here we open with 7 Sons of Korah psalms. And so we look at 42. It says here, for the sons of Korah. Look at 44. To the chief musician, for the sons of Korah. Maskil again. 45, to the chief musician upon Shoshanim, for the sons of Korah. 46, for the sons of Korah, all the way to 49. So 47, 48, 49, for the sons of Korah. So this book number 2 opens up with the sons of Korah psalms. Now, I personally believe that if the Sons of Korah psalms are singular, then David wrote that for the sons of Korah. Others might disagree. They may feel that this is all composed or written by the sons of Korah. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But if it's a group, then it's written by the sons of Korah. That's fine. If it's singular, like 42 and 43 are singular, talking about I, talking about me, talking singularly, then it makes sense that David wrote this for the sons of Korah. And so it's still Davidic in authorship as far as I could see, but I won't press that, won't make that such a big issue. That's not a big deal. All right, so we have Psalm 42, to the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. Well, who is Korah? And who are the sons of Korah? And why is that significant? Why is that important? Now, again, the inspired headings help us to find out the background of the Psalms so that we can have an idea of what the Psalm is about or what it's referenced to. Well, in order to figure out who the sons of Korah are, we need to find out who is Korah. Well, if you want to go to the book of Numbers, chapter 26, let's go over to the book of Numbers, chapter 26. Here's a summary of what happened. Just a summary, not the exact event, but Numbers 26 in the Old Testament. Para alam natin kung sino si Korah, no? Buksan natin ang summary sa aklat ng Numbers sa Lumang Tipan, chapter 26, verse number 9 hanggang verse number 11. Look at Numbers 26, verses 9 to 11. Numbers 26, verses 9 to 11. The Bible says, the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan and Abiram, that is, that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they strove against the Lord. So here, Moses and Aaron are leading the worship of God in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, and rebellion came to the congregation. Some people didn't want to follow Moses. Some people didn't want to follow Aaron. They rebelled against the Lord. They strove against the Lord, the Bible says. And what did God do? Look at verse number 10. And Korah is one of them. Did you see the name Korah? Verse number 9, Aaron in the company of Korah, when they strove against the Lord. So this is Korah. He's a man ahead of the home of his family. The Korahites. And what did he do? Well, it says here that let's see here. Verse number 10, Numbers 26, verse number 10. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When the company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men. So, and they became a sign, notwithstanding, here's verse number 11, notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. The children of Korah died not. So there was a rebellion in the tabernacle worship, and get my outline here. Sorry, my notes got mixed up here. So hang on. So the children of Korah were spared because they didn't go along with their dad in his rebellion against the congregation of the Lord and against the Lord himself and against the leadership of the congregation. But you see, they were spared. And so David appointed the sons of Korah to be singers in the tabernacle worship. Go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 6. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 31, all the way down to verse 37. But look at 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 31. These are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark had rest. And so the singers were appointed by David in the tabernacle worship. Look, go down to verse number 37. The sons of Tahath, the sons of Asher, the son of Abiasaph, the son of Korah, the son of Korah. So again, Korah rebelled and God dealt with him, but the children of Korah stayed faithful to the Lord. Now listen very carefully. Ito napaka-importante. Very, very important to know. Just because you grew up and your father didn't serve the Lord doesn't mean that you, when God gives you a family, your family won't serve the Lord. God's grace is powerful and strong and able to turn a family into a Christian family if you decide to follow the Lord. Even though your grandparents didn't follow the Lord, even though your parents didn't follow the Lord, if you know the Bible, you can be like the sons of Korah. You don't have to follow the pattern of unbelief and disregard and disobedience of your parents, children can grow up in the grace of God and avoid the disobedience of their generations before. And so that's the grace of God. It's the goodness of the Lord. And so we thank God for that. So if you didn't grow up in a Christian home, rejoice in the Lord. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, at least for your home, you could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right? So that's the grace of God. So, bagamat hindi, yung iba hindi lumaki sa tahanan ng mga Kristiyano, hindi ibig sabihin na gagaya na lang ako kay Lola, gagaya na lang ako kay Lolo, at hindi rin ako susunod sa Panginoon. No! Kung lumaki ka sa isang tahanan na hindi sumusunod kay Lord, ibig sabihin sa grasya ng Diyos, pwede kang sumunod kay Lord para yung tahanan na ibibigay sa iyo ng Diyos o yung tahanan mo ay hindi maging katulad ng Lola, Lolo, ng mga ninuno na hindi sumunod sa Panginoon. Amen. All right, so the sons of Korah, we have that testimony. Ano ang testimony ng mga sons of Korah? What is their theme? What is the main testimony of the sons of Korah? They didn't grow up in an obedient home, but for them and their house, they will serve the Lord. Here is their theme. Look at Psalm 84. The theme of the sons of Korah. Ito yung tema ng mga anak ni Korah. No? So si Korah, rebellion siya. Pero yung mga anak niya, obedient kay Lord at hindi pinarusahan ng Diyos. Psalm 84, verse number 10. This is the theme of the sons of Korah. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, the sons of Korah said, we'd rather serve the Lord in the tabernacle than to live with our father who's a wicked man. We'd rather just be a doorkeeper. We'd rather guard the tabernacle than just go on and live well with our rebellious father. So thank God for his grace and his mercy that's able to change generations and families by the grace of God. I mean, if you grew up in a home that didn't follow the Lord, it doesn't have to be true for your home. You can follow the Lord by the grace of God. And it ought to be that way. It ought to be that way. So, anyhow, Psalm 42, now we know that from Psalm 42 to 49, they're all the four of the sons of Korah Psalms. Okay, and we know now a little background. If you want the full account of Korah and the rebellion, you go to Numbers chapter 16. You read Numbers chapter 16 for the entire background of the sons of Korah and Korah himself and his rebellion, and see what God thinks of rebels, especially in the congregation. God would... Anyway, all right, so Psalm 42, Psalm 42 and 43 are about lament and hope, lament and hope. Pagdaing at saka pag-asa, yan ang tema na kumikilos sa buong psalm. So, discouragements, depression, downcast, being cast down is a reality. It's true. It happens to even believers get downcast. And what do we do about it? What does the Bible say that we should be doing about it? Well, look over here in Psalm 42. We already read the inspired heading. And the Bible opens up here with, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So here David, of course, writing for the sons of Korah, is expressing a heart of sadness or discouragement. And he yearns to see the Lord. He yearns to meet with God as a hart panteth after the water brooks. I mean, the book of Psalm is so captures the image of what it's like to yearn for God, to want to see God move and act, to ask God to answer prayer. It Psalms has a way of putting in words what it feels like at times when we're discouraged, when we're downcast. And this psalm is an excellent example of lament, a personal lament. And so as a heart, yung heart dyan, yan yung hayop, yung usa, lalaking usa, pinag-uusapan dyan. Gaya ng isang usa na, ano ba yun sa Tagalog? Let me look at my Tagalog translation here. Kung paano ang usa ay nananabik sa batis na umaagos, gayon nananabik ang aking kaluluwa sa iyo, O Diyos. Ang aking kaluluwa ay nauuhaw sa Diyos, sa buhay na Diyos. Kailan ako makakarating at makakita sa mukha ng Diyos? When can I see? When may I appear before God? And so, you know, the promise of Jesus Christ is, to them who are hungry and thirsting after righteousness, they shall be filled. So if you're saved and you're born again, God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He will always be with you. It's a promise of God. He'll never forsake you. And so if you truly pant after God, if you truly thirstily seek after God, you'll always find him. He's not too far away. He's only a prayer away, truthfully. That's how God is once you're saved and born again. My, how good God is. And in verse 2, he's called the living God. In contrast to the idols of the Old Testament and the dead idols, worthless idols of the pagans, God is a living God, and he's called the living God. So we're going to add another name of God to the list. And by the way, I have a list of the names of God as we're studying through the book of Psalms. And I found, I think we're up to about 30 now, names of God so far. And so if you're interested in that list, I'll be more than glad to share that with you so far. And if you find other names as we're studying, let me know and I'll add it to the list. But anyway, so the living God is a name. There are some other names here. Let's see here. Verse number 2. For thou art the God of my strength. That's another name. The God of my strength. Well, that's a great name for God. Look at verse number 4. Psalm 43, verse number 4. Here's another name. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. God my exceeding joy. I mean, if you know the Lord, you know he is your exceeding joy. The gladness of my joy is God. He is my gladness. And so I hope you fix your joy in the person of God. You know, a lot of people, they put their joy in money. Or they put their joy in events. Or they put their joy in themselves. Well, I tell you what, that'll go over like a flat tire. You'll go far like a flat tire if you joy in yourself. Or if you joy in things. Or if you joy in others. But if you joy in God, if he is your exceeding joy, oh my. he'll be the living God. He'll be the God of your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Anyway, so the cure for discouragement is remembering, reflecting, turning your eyes from self to God. Hope thou in God. Anyway, so my tears have been my meat. Chapter 42, verse 3. Chapter 42, verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And that question appears over and over again. Where is thy God? Look over in verse number 10. Psalm 42, verse number 10. With a sword in my bones. Man, it's just like killing me. Mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Well, how discouraging that is when the enemies are challenging you. Where is your God? You know, they look at the world and they see how evil the world is. Or why do good things happen to, why do bad things happen to good people? Where is your God? And so it's tough to defend, sort of say, or explain the goodness of God in the midst of a wicked world. But that question, where is your God, is a question of ignorance. Ignorance of the scriptures. Yes, the world is wicked, but it's not because of God. Yes, the world is fallen and in sin and is decaying. Sorry for evolutionists. We're not improving. We're not evolving the better species. No, we're not. We're on our way down. But the question is, where is thy God? The question should be asked, why are we sinners? Why did we sin? Why did we fall? Why did Adam sin against God, his creator? And we're no better because we are the children of Adam by nature. We're all the same. We're all made of the same stuff. We're all sinners. And that's why we thank God for Jesus Christ. Because through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and we have a home in heaven, and God will restore us to greater than Adam because of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who defeated temptation and the devil and sin. So anyway, where is thy God? Verse number 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. So David begins to think about what it was like when he worshiped God in the tabernacle. It was joyful. There was music. There was fellowship. It was a wonderful time. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. All right, so every Sunday is our holy day because Jesus resurrected from the dead, and we worship a living God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, you remember when the pandemic hit, right? March 15, 2020, we were put on lockdown. And all of a sudden, you couldn't gather for religious gatherings or prohibited. Boy, did we ever think, wow, did we miss the fellowship? Did we miss the Sundays? Did we miss getting together and worshiping God? Now, some people didn't care for that. To them, they thought worship was non-essential. That tells you they're not saved. They're not born again. They are ignorant concerning the things of God. But for us who are saved and born again, it was like a deer panting for the water, desiring to get back into fellowship, back to normal, back to where we need to be worshiping God. And David felt that way when he ran from Absalom and he could not assemble and worship Jehovah God in the tabernacle. David felt that. The geography here suggests that. Verse number 6, look at verse number 6, Psalm 42, verse 6. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. These are the areas where David fled to as he was fleeing from Absalom and taken away from Jerusalem, from the worship of God in the tabernacle. And so it meant something for David to be in the tabernacle. The sons of Korah decided that we're not going to live in the tent of our wicked father. We're going to be doorkeepers. We'd rather serve the Lord in the tabernacle than to dwell in the tents of our wicked, wicked daddy. And so the David and the Korahites understood the value of corporate worship. Now I hope you, as a Christian, understand the importance of corporate worship. It is an essential. It is the essential of all essential things to worship God. That's why the politicians are sinning against God. They're wrong when they say, oh, worship is not essential. A gathering, a congregation is not essential. The coronavirus is a satanic plan to destroy the local assembly of baptized disciples. I am convinced of that. Did you pass the test from God? Were you obedient to Him even though we were in a pandemic? I hope you were. I hope you desire that one day in church is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. And that's the heart of this psalm. That's the heart of this. You know why people, Christians, are discouraged? Because their priority is not with God. No, their joy is somewhere else. Let me tell you, if you're a born-again Christian and you are in sin and you're backslidden, God the Father will make sure that you will be discouraged. That's a guarantee, because He's not going to allow His child to live in disobedience. He's gonna whip you and chastise you lovingly, according to Hebrews chapter 12. Read the Bible. So anyway, verse 6, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." And so that idea of being discouraged. Verse number 7, "Deep calleth in unto the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." No? So sa Tagalog, ano ito sa Tagalog? Psalm 42, verse number 7. Tingnan natin. Psalm 42, verse number 7. "Ang kalaliman ay tumatawag sa kalaliman sa hugong ng iyong matataas na talon. Lahat ng iyong alon at iyong malaking alon sa akin ay tumabon." So verse number 7, Psalm 42, verse 7, is prayed by Jonah. Prayed by Jonah. Jonah came and prayed that prayer. Go over to Jonah chapter 2. In the Old Testament, the prophet Jonah, you remember, he was cast into the ocean, and a great fish came and swallowed him. And as he was being swallowed into the fish, he alluded to this psalm in prayer. Jonah chapter 2, verse number 3. Jonah chapter 2, verse 3. "For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me." And so Jonah, again, is a picture. Of course, Jonah was a historical truth. It really happened. But he's also a foreshadowing of the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings of Christ. So as much as Jonah is a sign of the resurrection of Christ, Jonah is also a sign of the suffering of Christ, because Jesus also prayed Psalm 42. Look at, for example, Psalm 42, verse number 6. "Oh God, my soul is cast down within me." My soul cast down within me. Jesus prayed the same thing, like Jonah prayed the same thing. Matthew chapter 26, go over to Matthew 26. When did Jesus pray this? In the Garden of Gethsemane. In the hour of His harshest agony, where He felt like He wanted to die. Look at Matthew 26. So Jesus alludes to this prayer. Matthew 26, verse 28. I'm sorry. Matthew 26, verse 38. Matthew 26, verse 38. "Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." So the Lord knows what it's like to be discouraged. The Lord knows what it's like to want to die. Being discouraged and depressed and being down is not necessarily a sin. The sin part is how you respond to your discouragement, how you respond to being cast down. If you're hoping in God, then you're suffering righteously. If you're obedient to the Lord in the middle of your suffering, that glorifies God. But if you're backslidden in the middle of your suffering and you're not communing with God and you're not desiring the Lord, that's not a good thing. All right, so verse number 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. Oh my, loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. There's another name for God, the God of my life. And I added that to my list of names of God. So the God of my life. And so God commands his loving kindness. Again, the word loving kindness is a powerful word. And it's mentioned all through the Psalms. It's loaded in the book of Psalms, the loving kindness of God. What it means is that God loves us with a covenant love, a covenant promise. He won't break it. He won't deny it. He won't change it. If you're born again and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know you're saved because God will never fail you. And God will never change his mind. When he forgives you of your sin, he cleanses you of all your sin, past, present, and future. And even if you fail him, he'll never fail you. And even if you forsake the Lord, the Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because it's based upon a covenant promise, a covenant mercy, or the loving kindness of God, a contract, if you would, of God to those who know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you're born again, if you're saved, you're in covenant with Jehovah God, a God who keeps his promises, a God who cannot lie. And what assurance, what a promise from God that he's going to love us, even though there are times when we are not lovable. And God will never fail us. And so be encouraged by the loving kindness of God. It'll never change. Thank God for his faithfulness, the God of my life. I like how the Psalms just give us a picture of God. He's the God of the living God. He's the God of my life. He's the God of my exceeding joy, and so on and so forth. So, all right, verse number 9. I will say unto God my rock. That's another name for God. God my rock. Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? We covered those verses already. Here's the refrain, verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. The word disquieted means to be troubled. Yung ibig sabihin ng disquieted dyan, yung pagkabalisa. O balisa. So, bakit ako mababalisa sa aking kaluluwa? Ang pag-asa ko ay si Lord. I see God. Siya ang aking pag-asa. Kaya hindi ako mababalisa. Hindi ako magiging katulad ng iba na kapag yung buhay ay naguguluhan, ay mababalisa ako. No. Kung ako ay mag-focus at maalala ko ang kabutihan ng Diyos sa aking buhay, oh my, bibigyan niya ako ng lakas, bibigyan niya ako ng strength para makayanan ko ang pagsubok na dinadala ako ng Diyos doon. And so, Psalm 43, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. So we know David fought the Philistines, he fought the giants, he fought even his own countrymen at times. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. There's another name for God, the God of my strength. Why hast thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Always look for God's light and truth. Where do we find God's light and truth today? We find it in the King James Bible. We find it in the Word of God. God's light and truth to guide us. Of course, the psalmist here is probably thinking about the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud in the daytime. But God leads his people. God led his people in the Old Testament. God leads his people in the New Testament. God leads his people today through the Word of God. This is our light and truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, to thy tabernacles. You know where the Word of God will always lead you to? It'll lead you to the local assembly of baptized disciples. It'll lead you back to the church. God always is looking for an assembly of baptized disciples who will bond together and obey him in a society that disregards him. That's always been the plan of God. And he'll have his will fulfilled in the future. And he will have an assembly of saved individuals who will follow him in the New Jerusalem someday. And I hope you're part of it by faith in Jesus Christ. So if you don't believe on the Lord and you're not born again, you won't make it there. You won't be there for that. Anyway, it says here, verse 4, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. And so, again, the yearning of the believer is to be in the assembly of God and worshiping him corporately with music and just reflecting on God. The cure for discouragement is communion with God in the assembly, in the church, for our generation, for our dispensation. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. He says it three times. Hope in God. Hope in God. Don't put your hope in man. Ooh, man. Ooh, we. Yan yung mga politika na nagkakandidato. Sabi ng Bible, huwag tayo magtiwala sa tao. Magtiwala tayo sa Diyos. No? Kumbaga, yung mga namumuliti ka, sasabi nila, ako ang iyong tagapagligtas, huwag mong paniwalaan yan, mga bobo. Anyway, hope in God, don't hope in man. Boy, I tell you what, there's nothing more discouraging than a political leader saying, hope in me, I'm your hope, I'm your answer. Well, fat chance, I don't think that'll ever happen. We'll never see truth and justice on earth until Jesus rules and reigns in Jerusalem. So don't campaign for any of those men. They're a bunch of losers and liars. Campaign for Jesus Christ. Hope in God. Stand up for Jesus. Let people know about Jesus, because Jesus never fails. And all these guys, they basically said that God's worship is non-essential. Remember that. Don't vote the Antichrist in, I'll tell you that much. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. We're hoping in God. God will answer. God will move. And so we trust in the Lord. We don't trust in man. All right? So the cure for discouragement is communion with God in the assembly for the sons of Korah. Remember the background of these two psalms here. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless, and that'll conclude our studies for today. And we'll move on to book 2, and we'll look at Psalm 44 next time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. We thank you for being the strength of our life, the rock, our refuge. We thank you for being our Savior, our Deliverer. We thank you for being our exceeding joy. We thank you for being our life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can hope in you. We don't have to hope in man, but we can hope in you. And Lord, any of your children, Lord, if they desire to meet with you, they certainly can because of Jesus Christ, who also tasted sorrow to deliver us from sorrow. And we thank you for his great work, his priestly, high priestly work for us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen.